Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK Live telephone talk show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is on the other side of the table here and on the other side of a lot of important issues here. He's on the wrong side of history. And Mr. Rob Center is on the other side of the glass. So that describes the setting here. We have a great guest. We'll introduce him in a moment. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. You can check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our hometown pharmacy's toll-free line will be open in about 10 minutes. You can call us then at 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. The toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, the Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. We have State Senator Gene Yaw with us. He is the solicitor for the Lycoming County Commissioners, right? Still?
Not any longer.
No. Okay. You gave that up 12 years ago.
Yeah, I gave that up, you're right, about 11 years ago. Yeah.
All right. Well, that was a big job. I remember that sitting in the back row.
He has a pretty big job now.
Right. State Senator. I did say that, right? 23rd District, Republican, and not seeking re-election at this precise moment, so that we get to talk about sort of non-election related, non-campaign things. All right, well, let's start at the beginning. I guess it's budget time. Some budget proposals are being talked about. So what do you see coming in this year's budget? Another on-time budget, we all hope.
I thought that the governor's budget address was pretty interesting in a way. I mean, you know, one of the things he did not ask for any across-the-board tax increase. I wouldn't say an olive branch, but he seemed to want to work together, and he did compare us to Washington, D.C., and he said that, you know, he really looks forward to the fact that Pennsylvania, unlike Washington, D.C., that people can work across the aisle and really accomplish things. So I think that was very encouraging.
He didn't compare you to Washington. He said you're unlike Washington.
He said we were unlike Washington.
Okay. He contrasted us to Washington.
There you go. Yes. Okay, yes. Fantastic.
Unlike Washington.
I was going to say.
That we actually do something.
All right. So before the budget address, the governor had talked about some money-raising proposals. One, legalizing marijuana and taxing it is kind of out there. Raising the minimum wage. What are your view on and taxing the severance of natural gas in addition to the impact of fees?
And charging municipalities for state police protection.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, no, and no.
All right. Well, fantastic. Joe, do you have any questions for the
Thank
Senate?
You for coming, Gene. Have a great day.
The marijuana, I mean, we can talk about that. And, you know, I know that the lieutenant governor now has a listening tour out there to see, and I've seen some of the, we've all read the studies supposedly that are out there that 60% of Pennsylvanians favor legalizing recreational marijuana. I'm not so sure. I think it, just as there are articles out there that say that the legislature is not there, I'm not yet. It took me quite a large step to get to the point of going along with medical cannabis, and I think that there are a lot of people that were involved in that and say that legalizing recreational marijuana is going to take away from the real purpose of the medical cannabis, because it's going to lessen the incentive to do research. And I think that there is some truth to that. That was one of the reasons I know Senator Fulmer, who was a prime sponsor of that bill, his whole concept behind the medical cannabis was to get it out there so that we could do research into exactly the medical benefits of it. And he really has very, very strong feelings about the fact that legalizing it across the board is going to really detract from that particular effort. And now, I have to agree with them at this point.
Can there be much research on it while it's still a Title I or Schedule I drug at the federal level?
Yeah, I think that individual companies and dispensaries, they can do the research on it. And I know I visited a dispensary before it was open, by the way, and so...
Okay. All right, anyway, go ahead.
Professionally, I gather.
It was a professional tour, and... you know, even today, the people that are knowledgeable about it can pick certain buds and certain strains of marijuana that will do different things. And I think that those are the types of things that people are still taking a look at.
Have we learned anything from Colorado and some of the other states that have legalized recreational use for marijuana?
Yeah, I think that we have. And one of the things that I hear repeatedly is there's a lot more problems in Colorado than that surface. I mean, everybody looks at it as like, oh, well, let's tax it. Well, it's a moneymaker. Well, there are social aspects that apparently go with it that have created some issues, and I've read about some of them in Colorado.
Such as?
Well, you know, the whole idea that it's available and there's more, there's mental health issues that go along with it. And, you know, I guess it's the idea that you can't feel good all the time. And I'm just not sure about that. So,
well, it's more traffic accidents, too. I heard that the number of traffic accidents was up in Colorado.
Well, yeah, that's true. You're absolutely correct about that, that people are getting high and driving, frankly.
Well, I don't know anything more about any of the topics you just mentioned, but I'm just like a freedom lover. I think in my own house, growing my own pot in the basement, I guess, or something, or, you know, a person that... The fact that Harrisburg thinks they know better than I do and knows how to control my life and can you know, is doing the big nanny state thing and watching over me that way, that always, I always don't like that about any topic, whether it's alcohol or cigarettes or any other topic.
Well, you know, but you're talking about two different things. You're talking about growing it in the basement and it'd be like brewing your own beer. In the basement. I'm not so sure that maybe that is okay. But we're looking at it now, and what the purpose behind it is to make it legal throughout the state. The state control it, kind of like we control alcohol, and tax it. It's a moneymaker. And, you know, we could have a long discussion about frontier libertarian issues.
Right, okay. Well, you speak libertary-like sometimes on a lot of other issues.
I know.
I will
say.
Well,
I think you ought to stick to your bees and let the marijuana out of your
yeah,
basement.
I do have bees, not in the house. We have bees in the backyard.
And you've got some in your bonnet, too, if I may add.
Okay, so legal marijuana. And there's no legislative proposal. You'll go to one of the listening tours when they visit your town?
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I mean, the lieutenant governor is going to visit every one of the 67 counties. So, I mean, he's got a huge task in front of him.
You agree with Jay Corman that every time we discuss this, we're being irresponsible, that just having the conversation's irresponsible because it makes it vaguer and vaguer to kids that it's a harmful thing?
No, I mean, and I'm not afraid to, have a disagreement with the majority leader. I think that I've learned a lot in my opioid travels. That we need to talk about it, and I think that talking about it is not a problem. We don't necessarily have to agree on everything, but I think that it's reasonable to talk about it.
Well, no one's come down more heavily on the opioid issue than you have, Senator. But, Mike, where do you come down on the fact that some people consider marijuana to be a gateway drug that could lead to use of opioids?
Yeah, I am not sure that it really is a gateway drug, and I'm just not convinced that it is, just because people smoke marijuana once in a while, I really don't think that it is the type of gateway drug that opioids have gotten targeted with.
I'll send you the link for it. We just did an interview with a fabulous professor at Bucknell University, a neuroscientist who's doing the research. As soon as we did the interview, she was interviewed on NPR about a new book called Never Enough. But she talks about it is a gateway drug for some individuals. If you have an addictive personality and you're using this to escape reality, it can be a gateway. But for other people like you or I, who generally speaking are hooked on nothing, it would not be.
I agree with that, and I didn't hear about that, but that's absolutely consistent with everything that we've learned about opioids. Some people can become addicted to opioids in as little as 10 days. Others of us, our bodies are made up differently, and we could take 30 days of opioid prescriptions and walk away from it and have no effect at all. So I agree with that. I think that it probably, if you have an addictive personality or you have the chemical makeup in your body that's susceptible to it, that's probably true.
Well, we had Lieutenant Governor Fetterman on the phone the other day talking about his listening tour, and I asked him what the result of that tour would be, what kind of a report, and I don't think he was very specific on that.
I don't think there is a deliverable.
He just said he wanted to listen. So what do you think would be gained by it? I mean, is this worth doing, or is this just a horse and pony show?
No, I think that in the long run, the intent is, if there really is 60% support out there for marijuana, that eventually there will be proposed legislation to legalize it. I mean, I didn't fall off the pumpkin truck yesterday. I think that that's where this has gone eventually. And it may be years down the road, but I think that this is laying the groundwork for it.
All right. And by then, we'll be able to study in even greater detail what's going on in Oregon. My daughter lives there and talks about the marijuana. It's like a whole pop-up industry. It isn't really just like you can just get it at a store. It's like a whole other set of coffee shops or a whole other set of smoke shops.
But look at the problems already in existence. I mean, my community, Shamokin Dam, is going to be home to one of the growing facilities. And you can't even get a paycheck from these people because a lot of the banks won't even touch the money because of their concern over the fact that it's still federally a serious crime to deal with marijuana.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I've heard the stories that even a janitor, if you get a paycheck from them for cleaning up the building, technically you can't cash it at a bank. And I think, though, that there are I don't know that much about it, and I'm not going to speculate, but I think there are some ways around that. There are some financial institutions that aren't bound by the same rules. And I think that that's what's going to happen.
So a resourceful person might find that solution. We're going to take a quick break. We've exhausted one topic that we have to discuss today. But if you have a quickie question about that topic, feel free to email us at onthemark@wkok.com. You can call us on the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line, 1-800-795-9565, or text us at 70236. We have State Senator Gene Yaw here. We will take a quick break, and when we come back, talk about minimum wage. That seems to be talked about again. We have a lot of discussions about minimum wage. It doesn't go up, but we always talk about it. So we'll have another one of those conversations shortly.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight, too. Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month. Fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month. Both for 39 months. All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf. Lease are 39 months, 10,000 miles per year, $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
All right, welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. On the Mark, brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. Do as I've done. Build your next truck at sunburymotors.com, but you can build a great big truck like I did, or a small car, or a Hyundai, Kia, Ford, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. That, of course, is after you've exhausted the website to make sure that they don't already have what you're looking for, which they probably do. They have about 500 pre-owned vehicles to examine, and they got the Carfax, and all the details are there, a lot of pictures. So first of all, look at those, and then look at all the new vehicles. And you can, again, you're only online. And then last but not least, do what I did. Build a brand new F-250 with an 8-foot bed and a double row of seats and an electric back window and a sunroof. And then just get your lovely bride's approval, and away you go. So,
Sunbury, making out with that, by the way,
it's not going well.
Do you have a snowplow?
Oh, I do not yet, but I will if I have this truck.
Add it on.
I'm going to plow. Yes, and I'll put a salt spreader on the back.
You could make money, and then you wouldn't have to worry about making the payment.
That's what truck owners sometimes say. Yes, yes, they tell their brides, "Yeah, we'll make money plowing. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about beating the heck out of your truck. It won't cause any long-term problems." SunburyMotors.com. is the website if you want to do maybe even wiser decision-making than I've done. All right, State Senator Gene Yaw is here. We have a caller on the line. Eric, you're on the mark. Go right ahead. The senator can hear you now.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning, Senator. Thank you for being on this morning. The question I have, and first of all, I am totally against medical marijuana. I've called this show in the past and expressed my views based on my own family's personal experience with this. My question is, why do it? If it's not fixed, not broke, let's not fix it or try to fix it just because other states are doing it. This is Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania is a unique commonwealth. But the question I have is, if we decide to go with medical marijuana, what are we putting in place to protect our children?
Well,
what laws are we going to have that if you are caught selling marijuana to a child, to someone under 18, or what's going to be the age, 21, 18? Have we decided any of these things yet? Who's getting the money? To me, this is becoming big business, and to me, this is one more time where big business has now seen opportunity to jump in and make a lot of money.
Eric, you said medical marijuana with respect to children.
I apologize. Recreational marijuana.
Okay, that's what I thought you meant.
Yeah, I've got some strong feelings, and maybe the senator can ask this question, answer this question for me.
He's got quite a bit
with
already.
Medical marijuana, can you buy buds to smoke medical marijuana, or is it only still creams and pills and so forth?
All right, well, let him answer all of those questions. Go
ahead,
Senator.
All right, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
First of all, I, as I said at the beginning, I mean, I think we're a long ways away from even considering going to recreational marijuana. I mean, it's a subject that's out there, and the only reason there's any, I think, significant publicity about it now is because the governor announced it, and he has the lieutenant governor going out on a listening tour. There's no proposal in Pennsylvania to legalize marijuana, and there's virtually no discussion about it in the state legislature. So we're a long, long way away from even considering it. And I don't have a crystal ball to take a look at what, if there is legislation, what it may look like. My guess is here in Pennsylvania, since we have the Liquor Control Board and we control liquor, something involving marijuana is going to mirror image that. If that's a guess.
Right, and then the buds for sale for medical marijuana.
The buds for sale, I think the Secretary of Health approved sale of buds within the last 6 months.
Yeah, for the right person with the right prescription comes to mind for me.
But he's saying to smoke. Can you smoke those things?
Yes.
Right, that is
yes.
That would be the yes. method of consumption. All right, Eric, thank you so much for calling in. We'll put you on the no legalized cannabis column for that.
Lieutenant Governor will have one angry person to deal with.
Well,
yeah,
plus
I hope hope he. I hope he goes to the lieutenant governor's listening tour when he comes to whatever county that he lives in.
Yeah, I'm afraid that you won't get enough individuals with informed views, and we get all kinds of specialists and informed docs and addiction authors and all kinds of things in here, and people that know about enablers who say no to this question when asked about it.
But Senator, you worked very hard on getting funding for the bypass or the Susquehanna Valley Thruway project, you and your colleagues. And now we're at the point where PennDOT is looking into its budget, and we find that there's the state police, and they take a fairly big hunk out of the budget that should be going to things like roads and bridges and making our highways safer. The governor, and for years there's been talk about finding some way to fund PennDOT outside, or fund the state police outside of its share of PennDOT's funding. Now the governor is bringing up the idea again of a charge from municipalities that don't offer their own police protection. And I think this time, instead of just being $25, it's a sliding scale based on the size of the township or the political subdivision that has no police protection. Where do you come down on that?
I haven't read a lot about it. You're absolutely right, though. It is a sliding scale, and I think the lowest starts at $8 per person or something like that. I've talked to some of my colleagues about this whole idea, and I don't know whether this is a study, but one of the senators that I talked to indicated that the largest user of the state police facilities and their expertise are municipalities that already have a police force. We're taxing, or we're going to tax people because they don't have a police force, but yet the largest expense to the state police comes from those entities that do, in fact, still already have a police force. So I think that that's going to run into a huge opposition. And we've said for years that we need to fund the state police, and you know, maybe we just need to bite the bullet and fund them out of the general fund, period.
But can't you reverse that, though, and say that the municipalities that do have their own police department have already allocated a great deal of money to provide that protection for their citizens? And quite often, I know in my own police department that we get called out of town quite often to assist the state police when they're at the other end of the county.
Yeah. Third, though, is that it's the other services, like the forensic services and the investigative services and the laboratory and all those things, that the larger police forces, being more sophisticated, I guess, make more use of the facilities that the state police have. It's a bigger question than just saying, let's target these ones that don't have a designated police officer.
Well, I know that the municipalities involved look at it and say, well, are we going to get more for our money? I mean, this is something we've been getting for free for years, and now we're going to pay for it. Well, what are we getting for in return for this money? The same coverage?
I don't know how we're going to get more coverage, frankly, because the state police, their complement is, I forget what it is, they're 400 or 500 under their complement now.
Well, what do you think will happen with this? Not go anywhere?
No, we're going to discuss it. I don't have a crystal ball as to where it's going to go. It's been around for a number of years now that the governor has proposed it. I think that there will be discussion. This is a little bit different approach to it, and it may have more legs than what the flat, whatever it was a couple of years ago, $25 fee per person. Because there are some small townships that's a significant hit. I mean, I have townships in my district that probably have 100 people. You know, and where are they going to get the money? That was the issue about it.
But if you look at the cost, and I think our local paper did a very nice story on what the costs were to the different municipalities around here, they couldn't create a police department of their own for the amount of money they're going to be charged.
I agree, and that's, of course, that's one of the arguments. That's a disincentive to have your own police force if you can get it cheaper. Provided that the state police can handle the coverage. And, you know, and another thing that happens now, and I don't know in this particular area, but the state police are being asked, were asked at one point, to provide coverage at schools. And that became an issue because of overtime and everything else, so they don't do that. But I think that if we went back to something and increasing the state police, that requirement or that demand would be back again also. We're always looking for some way to get additional police coverage.
Well, maybe rather than have all the school districts develop their own small police department, have state police have a division maybe or something, or a separate patrol.
There's no question about it. I think that's a reasonable idea. My understanding was what happened is that when some of the people were being hired, you know, on a part-time basis or extra work, overtime and everything else, and so that was a problem. That's why they stopped doing it.
One of our local listeners says, "Why not just pay for service? If you get an hour of state police work, you pay the hourly rate, whether it's a rec, a lab, a response, the SWAT, or anyone else."
Well, maybe that's the solution right there.
Well, but firefighters it's and ambulance can do it now. They bill.
But, Mark, it's not a municipality's fault if someone wrecks in their municipality who lives somewhere else.
No, you know, have whomever is paying for that incident, you know, to do it.
Well,
to pay is what I think they're thinking about.
Direct bill the criminals if the state police have to get involved.
Well, they do that in court.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the collection is not very good, but...
Well. Maybe the state police have to start a collection department as well.
You said earlier
it just doubles the size of the force, but I'm working on it.
Anyway. Funding it through the state general fund, how much more would that cost in taxes to the average Pennsylvania citizen if they did that?
Well, we'd have to raise, I forget what the state police funding is now out of the motor license fund. It's around $500 million or something like that, I think. And so we'd have to raise $500 million.
To be continued. We'll wrap up the state police discussion. We'll have your questions. We've got some news headlines coming up. I invite you to refresh your browser on Winternet. We've added some more closures to that, so make sure you're staying current with that. You're listening to WDKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Thank you so much for joining us on WDKOK Sunrise. Mark Lawrence here, our show sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Hometown Pharmacy sponsoring the toll-free line, which is open, 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Mount Pleasant Mills, Norrie Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, and Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and Trutz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com or text us at 70236. We'd love to hear from you today. We're with the State Senator Gene Yaw of the 23rd District, and he comes all the way from Loyal Sock, PA, to be with us today, so we appreciate that. Hopefully he's got some other stops in our region. And we're talking about some of the current issues in Harrisburg. We did talk about legalizing marijuana. The listening tour is underway. We'll have a story about that coming up at about the bottom of the hour after we have completed our questioning of Gene Yaw, and he moves on to his next big event, then we will we'll have that in the news coming up shortly. We're talking about state police funding. The governor has one idea. Probably each municipality and each citizen in the state has another idea how to properly fund state police. One of our listeners says, what about a county-wide police force, much like other states do?
I'm aware that some other states, Maryland, for example, I know I lived in Maryland when I went to law school, and everything in Maryland is based on county. It's a countywide school district, countywide police force, and that's the major police force. The state police in Maryland are a much lesser enforcement than the county police. Pennsylvania is just organized differently. For good or bad or whatever, Pennsylvania is very, very decentralized in everything that we do. we have what, Joe, you would know, we have like 2,400 governmental entities, townships, and cities, boroughs. We have about 2,000 various authorities. So, and then we have 500 school districts. And, you know, Pennsylvania is very independent. We're very decentralized, and I'm not sure how we're going to change that. I remember when I first started to school, which was a long, long time ago, we had a countywide school district. There was one county superintendent. And in everybody's infinite wisdom, we wanted to decentralize and have more local control. And that's, I mean, that's the history of Pennsylvania, is local control of everything. That's why we have so many boroughs, townships, cities, why we have 500 school districts, and all these different authorities controlling everything. And, that's been the history of Pennsylvania. That's how we got where we are.
Is there any sentiment to change that?
We're not going to county police by the sounds of it.
We're not going. I think that would be a task which I'm never going to see in my lifetime.
Well, then you'd have the city of the borough of Milton, the city of Sunbury, and the city of Shamokin, patrolled by the same police that are covering Dewart and all the way down to Cameron Township and every other place, or West Cameron Township.
Well, you'd have to realign the counties because some of them are small and underpopulated, and they probably couldn't afford a substantial police department. Other counties are quite large geographically.
Oh, maybe they could team up.
When I lived in Maryland, I lived in a more populous area like in Montgomery County. And some of those big counties, which have, they're the size of, I don't know, close to Philadelphia, and they have their own police force. Now, I don't know what they do in the rural counties in Maryland, but I think it's the same. It's the same thing.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is an open line. Lance, you're on the mark. We're between topics here. What would you like to discuss with the state senator?
Well, what gun legislation is moving in the legislature?
Okay, he's heard you. We'll let him answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, specific gun legislation, I am not aware of any particular gun legislation. The closest to that, I know that the Game Commission voted down the use of semi-automatic rifles for hunting. But that's it. I do not know of any particular piece of legislation relating to guns.
Okay. Now, what has the governor proposed? I mean, he's making an awful lot of noise. Now, what does he want?
With regard to what?
Well, with regard to, let's say, banning semi-autos.
I don't think the governor has taken a position on it, not that I'm aware of.
Oh, he said it, but it hasn't been part of any formal address, or it's not part of any legislation.
The only one that I said was the Pennsylvania Game Commission voted it down.
Yeah, well, what I'm trying to say is I've heard him at least 10 times on the radio talking about how he wants to crack down on guns. Now, what specifically does he want? And you don't know?
I don't know what he wants. And everybody says we have to control gun violence.
But there's no specific legislation, I think, is the senator's point, Lance. Or you ask about legislation. There is none.
Yeah. Okay, all right. All right, I apologize for that. But you must hear some kind of scuttlebutt as to what the man would like to do.
The answer is no.
But you don't hear it down there, but he certainly broadcasts it on major media.
But it's general comments. He has not asked, to my knowledge, for any specific
Well, there wasn't anything in the state
of legislation.
His budget address didn't have anything in it.
No.
So
you're safe. You can take your guns.
But
and
every
have
time
a
the
day.
Governor's on PCN, Gene doesn't pull off the road to listen to it or anything. He has issues that are actually pending legislation to take good care of.
I do.
Lawrence's theory, anyway. All right, Lance, thank you so much for calling in. But the moment that something's pending, you tell us, we'll tell the whole world.
The other big,
and we'll go from where? From
big
there.
Gorilla in the room is the what he has asked for is a change in the minimum wage. What does he want to do? Go to $12 and then 50 cents a year until it gets up to 15?
Yeah, and to, what's that, 2020, do the math, whatever it is,
2025, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we've already, I've already had pushback from it, I don't think anybody in my district, but the people that are going to push back is the amusement parks, places like that hire a lot of how I want to say, students, teenagers during the summertime. And it's that's a huge part of the tourism business in Pennsylvania. And they have a considerable lobby, and there are we've already gotten pushback from them that this would really have a negative impact on their business.
It doesn't exist in a vacuum. I mean, if the people who are making $12 an hour now wind up being working for minimum wage, they're going to want to increase the amount of money
definitely.
They get, aren't they?
It's going to have a snowballing effect. It has to. If all of a sudden it goes to $12 and the person that's making $12 is going to say, well, maybe I need to go to 15 or 18 right now.
Well, what about retraining? You know, we talk about family sustaining wages, but where I come from, what you bring to the table in terms of your skills and abilities is what determines whether or not you get a job that pays a fair amount of money.
Well, I mean, that's the way I grew up, and that's the way I always thought about things, too. And you raise an interesting question, though, and it's one of the issues I get hit with all the time. It's probably the most prevalent issue I hear about, and it's, you know, we've talked about marijuana, we've talked about state police, we've talked about all kinds of things. But the primary issue that I get hit with is Pennsylvania does not have a trained workforce. We don't have a trained workforce in this area. There are jobs all over the place, and we don't have people trained to fill them.
So what do you do about that?
Well, I can tell you a couple of things that we can do. One of the things that I read a study by Deloitte, you know, the big accounting firm just recently, and they said that we're losing our middle class. Middle class are the people that had the factory jobs and worked with their hands and did all kinds of things like that. We're losing those people because that's positions that are filled by baby boomers. They're all retiring. The next thing that we don't have is we don't have the training facilities, which we can talk about Penn College, which I'm the chairman of the board at Penn College. And, you know, we train people to work. And the final part of their study as to why we're losing this middle class is the stigma attached to people that work with their hands and earn a living that way. And, you know, part of that, I blame our public schools. There's this orientation out there from guidance counselors and a lot of people that you, to be successful, you have to have a four-year, whatever, liberal arts degree. Look, I am not knocking liberal arts. I have a liberal arts degree as a background, and it worked fine with me, but that is not a necessity to succeed. We have people from Penn College that are graduating that make over $100,000 a year. We have probably one of the best welding schools in the United States, which is 35 miles away from here. And, you know, we can train people that come out of there that go to work. But there's still that stigma attached to it that, you don't wear a coat and tie every day. I think that's really part of the problem that we have. And then we're also faced with the problem here in rural Pennsylvania. There is a out-migration from rural Pennsylvania to more populous areas. The new generational thing is to live in a more urban area where you can have an apartment, you can walk to work, you can walk to restaurants. A lot of people don't even want to own a car because if they want to go someplace, they call Uber. Or you call whatever it is, Zipcar, and rent the car for 2 days, and that's it.
Okay.
The United States is really undergoing a significant change, as is Pennsylvania. But like I said to start this, that the complaint I hear is that we don't have a trained workforce. And this gets back to what you said about the minimum wage and everything. There are jobs. I sat down with the director of the Progress Authority in Bradford County one day, and I'll bet you within 5 minutes we came up with between 200 and 300 jobs in that area in the northern part of the state. And I'm not talking about fast food jobs or jobs that are traditionally filled by teenagers or something like that. I'm talking about places like DuPont. They can't find a trained workforce. And then we're faced with the problem of how do you get people to move here? You know, the health systems run into the same problem. How do you get a doctor that says, well, okay, I'm going to move out in the country where, or I can go to the city and I can make more money and I have more services that are available to me and my spouse and everything else. So
warmer.
We have a challenge.
Right, and they might want a warmer climate while they're mixed in. As you look at all the ice out there today, it's hard to pitch jobs locally when with distant locations in the competition if it's not warm. One of our listeners says, if we went a different direction with governmental functions, school, county, local, et cetera, the cost might be somewhat lower, less hands in the taxpayer pot, so to speak, but...
We could, but we won't.
Okay, there we go. Cut the size of our legislature, says Dick. Okay, so there's two topics. One is county, more county control would potentially save money if we could somehow accomplish it, and then cut the size of the legislature. Did you ever get a chance to vote on the legislature? Oh, that's right, you did on one occasion. The idea of cutting the size of the state house.
Oh, yeah. Cutting the size of the legislature is... that's kind of one of these false hope things. First of all, if you cut, the legislature in the whole budget scheme is less than 1%. I mean, that's not much. And if you cut the number of legislators, all you're going to do is increase the number of staff members or bureaucrats, which you have no control over.
What if you don't? What if you cut legislators and keep staffs the same?
Well, then people are going to talk about, well, we need more services. We can't get the permits on time. We need more people.
So you've heard the phrase we need occasionally in this conversation?
Yeah, I've heard the phrase weebies, too. You know, we be here long after you're gone.
Okay. All right. So cutting the legislature, yeah, that's a moot point at this point. All right. Well, we'll take a quick break. We'll take more comers. Call us immediately, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wdkok.com. Or text us at 70236. We got 10 more minutes with State Senator Gene Yaw.
Oh, the weather outside's been frightful. School cancellations are delightful. I wanna go play in the snow. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Why is it that only kids are excited when it snows? Mom gets all crazy about going to the store for bread, milk, and eggs, and Dad runs to the hardware store for more salt. One of the quickest stops we make is our hometown pharmacy. We call ahead for our prescriptions, pick them up, and head on home to build the biggest snow fort on the block.
Discover the hometown pharmacy difference today at Lewisburg Pharmacy, North 2nd Street, Lewisburg. Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Route 35, Mount Pleasant Mills. Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, Market Street, Bloomsburg. Pharmacy, Duke Street, Northumberland. Trutz Pharmacy, Walnut Street, Mifflinburg. And Danville Pharmacy, Mill Street, Danville.
Can anyone tell me, what's the big deal about bread, milk, and eggs? I mean, what's everybody gonna do? Sit inside and eat French toast while watching Snowmageddon hit?
Your hometown pharmacy. Making a difference every season, every day.
No, I can... Boy, have I got a good question for the center. No, I'm just kidding.
I can't duck it.
You don't have any issues that can be ducked anymore. Did you notice that? All of this keeps popping up, you know, in the form of legislation that you have to vote it down if you're not in favor. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We got some callers waiting. We got a text message or an email, a question as well. We are talking about some of the important issues of the day. So let's go to our listener, Joseph. You're on the mark. You have the attention of State Senator Gene Yaw.
Yes, Senator Gene. What I'm wondering, I'm a landlord, and sometimes you get some deadbeat tenants in. I have a lease, and in the lease they sign this agreement, which I think is a legal agreement, concerning what they must do, their responsibilities and my responsibilities, okay? And anyway, if they don't maintain their responsibilities in the lease, I have the right to kick them out. Okay, but I cannot do that because the state laws, and I talked to Representative Flood about this, the state laws so favor the tenants that I'm going to have to go to the magistrate, get a thing sworn out. It's going to cost me pretty near $200. Then I have to wait another month, and they're already behind rent maybe a month or so because I work with my tenants. You know, I'm too easy on them, actually. and then I'm, you know, I'm going to be out 2-3 months rent.
What's the question for the senator?
Okay, is there any legislation in the works, or could there be any, to favor the landlord in the respect that he has the right to evict them without going through this big process when they already signed a lease saying that they are going to go by the lease, and the lease says if they don't do their end of what the lease says, I have the right to kick them out.
All right. Well, their lease expired during that lengthy question, but we'll ask it. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Joseph. Good question. Yeah, you know about this. Landlords have a heck of a time trying to expedite an eviction.
30 years ago, when I started practicing law, the same questions came up, and they've been in existence for 30 years. And I can tell you what the, the feeling is: they're going to protect the tenant. Because in the past, and there have been bad landlords that took advantage of people, and I mean, that's the sentiment that's out there. And to answer his question specifically, is there any legislation pending to change that? The answer is no. And I seriously doubt whether that would it would go anywhere.
All right, natural gas. You ready?
No, I was going to ask just one question. We talked about what's in and what's not in the governor's budget address. Did you see anything in there that you thought was particularly heinous, that you non-starter right from the start?
Well, no. He does this every budget cycle. For example, he zeroes out some of the ag issues, like Pennsylvania hardwoods, some of the ag research. And they zero it out because they know that we will put it back in. But that makes it easier to fool around with the numbers on the budget. And, we need ag research. We need Pennsylvania hardwoods are a major, it's a major business in my district, in this whole area. So why do we do that? I mean, those are just little maybe
political games.
Yeah, games.
Yeah,
it's a game.
It is little things, but it means a lot to the people in my district, to farmers and people that work in the woods and lumber companies and everything else. And why do we do it? Why do we play this game every year?
So then he can turn around and say, "Well, the Republicans drove up the budget. I had to cut down."
Right. They increased, or we have to cut something else where he's put money in whatever, some other program. In order to put it back. But he knows it will do it.
Well, he also said in his budget address there's no new taxes, but a week earlier he said, I want to invent a new severance tax, not even increase it, to start with a new severance tax that
right.
would be very high, but would fund infrastructure.
Gas, right.
Natural gas drilling or natural gas removal.
Right.
What's your view on the idea of the severance tax?
Well, no, I don't like it. His proposal, just the severance tax alone, goes on top of the impact fee, which is already in existence. And by the way, this year, the impact fee will generate a record high. It's like it will be $247 million. 60% of that gets distributed back to local municipalities, counties. The other 40% goes into various government programs, goes to DEP, goes to grant programs. I mean, it's just been a huge success. But in his proposal is to add the severance tax on top of the impact fee. The numbers I've read is in order to fund the bond issue, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take the severance tax. We're going to have a multi-billion-dollar bond issue. Then we're going to use that bond issue money to correct all the infrastructure problems and roads and bridges and everything else and rebuild Pennsylvania. But it needs to generate at least another $300 million in order just to meet the bond issue payments. If you add that with the current impact fee, I don't know, we're going to have a severance tax somewhere in 8 or 9% tax range. I mean, that's going to be the highest in the country. And we're, the gas industry is here. And we need to promote it. And one of the reasons that we talked about the infrastructure for the gas is they have never asked for a cent from the state as far as any kind of a grant or help them or anything other than to say, tell us what the rules are so that we can go forward.
Well, you know, the state has always had a lot of unfunded mandates, which really irritates local governments and people.
I agree. I hear that all the time.
If they're going to raise money, why don't they raise money to fund some of the mandates they put in place?
I
sound advice.
I don't have a problem with that. If we tell somebody to do something, unless it's some minuscule thing that you just use information that you already have at hand, sure.
All right. Big question. The nuclear power industry, there's talk about some help for the nuclear power industry because they're no longer as competitive, and the costs are so much higher to generate electricity with nuclear power than it is for natural gas. The concept of some sort of help or a bailout for the nuclear power industry has come up.
That's a huge question, and it's a big question for me because I have so many rural electric entities in my district, which they own 10% of the Susquehanna power plant, but it produces 60% of their electric needs. So that covers a large part of my district. You know, the bottom line, though, is why the nuclear industry is asking for a bailout is because we have a glut of electricity production capability. You know, I asked the nuclear energy people, why are they doing this? And it's like, well, they were encouraged to get into the business. Now they're in the business, and all these other competitors have come in, including solar and wind and gas in particular, and we're producing more energy than what we need, which keeps the price way, way down. So they're asking to help them because we have an oversupply of electricity. The other thing that we do that it's part of the PJM grid, our nuclear energy is being exported to other states. That's another factor. I mean, they're asking for us to help them so that they can produce energy and export it and get a better price for it. I mean, it's a very, very complicated issue. There's no question about it.
At this moment, you're not leaning towards a bailout for the nuclear power industry.
No, I'm not.
Sounds like.
I mean, you know, I have two gas generation power plants in my district, and, you know, we're not very far from Shamokin Dam, which is, I think, the largest coal-to-gas conversion east of the Mississippi. It's a big issue here, and I am fully aware of the nuclear power plants, the number of jobs that are out there and everything. But one of the things that I talk to people all the time is, you know, we have people that the economy's changed. How many stores have closed? Bon-Ton's gone, Sears, Penny's, and all those. You know, we didn't have special legislation to help those people when they lost their jobs.
But there is still a finite amount of natural gas that can be used, and eventually nuclear may have to play a much larger role in our power business, won't it?
Well, it depends. If you listen to some of the environmentalists, they want to go solely to wind and solar, and that's where we want to go. And you know, some of the federal legislators have said, well, we're going to do this by 2030 or whatever it is.
Well, we adopt the Green New Deal, well, none of us will be driving cars.
That could be.
Yeah, we'll have to bone up on that topic. All right. You want to read one listener, not happy with life in Harrisburg.
No, it says, so a typical politician, so out of touch with what's going on. There are universities and trade schools all over our area training people to take the jobs away. Most are moving out of Pennsylvania because of what our politicians have done. They regulate and tax us to death, straighten out our government, and make it more affordable to live here, and maybe some trained and educated people would stay here.
All right, so they're one unhappy constituent. I would invite that individual to spend a week with you, you know, before they call you out of touch. I don't always vote Republican, but I don't have any. When I lived in your district, I didn't have qualms voting for you because I thought that you're in touch and you're there. I mean, you're doing the job.
We try to travel. I mean, I'm meeting with people all the time, and you know, boots on the ground type thing, and we're out there. I'll tell you, I mentioned that I chair the board at Pennsylvania College of Technology. We have about 84% of our graduates stay in Pennsylvania. So that's a pretty good indicator of if you're trained for the right type of job, you can stay here. And Penn College right now, we're working, I'll give you an example, we're working with Shell and the cracker plant, which you've heard about in Beaver County, because we think that it will have a significant impact on the plastics business here in the United States, and especially in Pennsylvania, because there will be all kind of chemical industries grow up as a result of that cracker plant. They need welders and everything, so we are working with those people. We're trying to train the people for the jobs which are going to be created as a result of that. And we have to look forward to that. I don't doubt it. I mean, there are people trained and move out of the state because they don't have the right training. So, but we try to do it, and we try to keep, like I said, 84% of our graduates stay in Pennsylvania, and we're very proud of that.
Well, and tell that constituent, contact you, let them know specifically what the dilemmas are.
Yeah.
And, the Penn College Board, that's a working board. That's not a meet every 3 months and vote yes board. So we see at the committee meetings
we're
field.
We're very fortunate. We have an 11-member board.
Yeah, I've covered those too. All right, Dale, you get a quickie, you get a parting shot on WKOK's on the Mark.
Yeah,
with Gene Yaw.
Yeah, Gene. I think Mark and Joe think you live in a bubble and you're scared to talk to somebody. But here I'm saying is, you ever heard that term, too many chiefs, not enough Indians? You ever heard that term, right?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you something. If we take away the basic skills in schools, when I was younger, in middle school and in high school, I took up, small, masonry, wood shop, and all like that. Right now, we're at a place where they took them all out of schools, okay? And if we try to get those back in schools, it's going to be hard because the government's so big now that they want to, make it a subsidized program or jobs.
You have a question there, Dale. Dale, do you have a question?
And we still have vote tech schools. That's
for sure. Yeah, I got a question for you. When the storm comes and then all the chiefs are all celebrating all, and the Indians stop working, we're going to be in trouble. So what are you doing? I understand. I like what you say. But I think a lot of people.
What's the question?
Is out of touch. What are you going to do? Small steps and making sure you take care of the Indians that are basically pushing the wheel.
We want to know what you're going to do for the Indians who are pushing the wheel, Gene.
It's workforce development, is what he's talking about.
Oh, okay. Workforce development. We're very, very big in that, and we're trying to tailor our education to fit jobs which people can undergo training, and when they leave Penn College, at least, they have a job. We have a 96% placement rate for people that go through our programs. That's pretty good that we are serving the Indians out there who want jobs.
But they might become chiefs later, so you lose them.
Absolutely, we provide programs there where they can become chiefs.
You lose them to the white tents
eventually.
Keep
our shoulders to the wheel, please.
and a lot of other strange metaphors. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we thank Gene Yaw for coming in.
Yes, thank you, Senator.
So much.
I thank you.
Do you enjoy this? Is this a fun time? I know Fred Keller always loves coming in.
We can spar a little bit, but I appreciate it. And it's a way that I can find out what's gone on. And you're absolutely right. I mean, I try and get out and talk to people. I prefer to do that. I like to be in the district. I like to travel. My district is the second largest geographic Senate district in the state. I cover 3,600 square miles.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
That's a lot of coverage. All right. And you'll see half of it today. So thank you so much for coming in. Right. We'll take a quick break.
Have a safe trip.
We're going to flip to open phones on WDKOK shortly. Welcome back to WDKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Line is open. Call us, 1-800-795-9565. That's the Hometown Pharmacy's toll-free line. Maybe you'd like to react or respond to something that the senator said about either legalized marijuana or radar. Joe didn't ask about radar. I must have taken pure restraint not to ask about radar for local police. And we talked
there
about
were bigger fish to fry.
I gotcha. Severance tax. We also talked about the minimum wage and the nuclear power industry. The senator not necessarily favoring any legislation that bails out the nuclear power industry. So let them fare on their own, I guess, would be the summary there. So call us now if you want to react to that. We have one text left from yesterday talking about grades that don't go below 50%. And I am, I think, the only person who supported that, correct, who said it's a good idea?
No, no. You had Than Mitchell who called in yesterday, and you had Chris who called in.
Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, the smartest people in the world are on my side, so that works out. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is Hometown Pharmacy's
toll. Can we debate that later?
Yes, that'll be our topic. 1-800-795-9565. The Hometown Pharmacy toll-free line sponsored by the Shade Mountain Pharmacy in Mount Pleasant Mills, the Noray Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Lewisburg Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy in Mifflinburg, and the Bloomsburg Medicine Shop. And they want to always remind you that every dollar spent locally, if you spend it at a local shop, it rattles around your community 10 times over. And before it finally goes to China. And what happens is they favor local businesses, local tire shops, local garages, local car washes, local car dealers, and they make sure that they don't go to the big box stores either and that they're taking good care of their local community. And guess who gets ended up helping with all of this? Local sports teams, charities, fundraisers, fire companies, schools are all help because you're keeping things local and not going to big boxes. So don't do that. Do please shop locally at your hometown pharmacies. That would be Shade Mountain Pharmacy, Trotz Pharmacy, Noray Pharmacy, Danville Pharmacy, Bloomsburg Medicine Shop, and the Lewisburg Pharmacy. So we thank them for being a good sponsor of our toll-free line. Some brief news headlines here. Winter storm glazed up roads overnight. Main highways are sloppy but unfrozen. And we do have the secondary roads might have some icy spots, especially if it's a shaded spot or untreated. The speed limit restrictions have been lifted from Interstate 80 and 180. We've had quite a few school districts that started on delays and then switched to closures. So you can see that list at WKOK.com. And they got some storage issues for the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade. They need storage space by the end of the month. About 2,500 square feet of indoor storage space for 11 floats. They're getting kicked out of their current location, and so they need new space ASAP. Contact the Union County Veterans 4th of July Parade. One of those listening tour stops was held this week.
The Lieutenant Governor's first stop was the Jewish Federation of Greater Harrisburg in Dauphin County, where he was joined by State Representative Patty Kim. More than 100 people turned out for the event, with the majority of speakers in support of legalization. Pennsylvania is one of 33 states that allow marijuana to be used for medical reasons, while 10 have legalized recreational usage. Fetterman also made clear the purpose of this tour.
It's not interesting what I think or what Patty thinks. It's, you know what's interesting? It's what you think. And that's what this night's all about.
Fetterman will appear in all 67 Pennsylvania counties. His next stop is this evening at the Newport Public Library in Perry County. Wednesday, the Lieutenant Governor will be in Cumberland County with two appearances Saturday in Erie and Warren counties. Tory Gates, News Radio, 1070 WKOK.
And the Perry County meeting was rescheduled because of the icing last night, so that will be rescheduled. We'll let you know when that is. And finally, Katy Perry's fashion line has pulled two types of shoes after some people compared them to blackface. The Aura Face Block Heel and the Rue Face Slip-On Loafers were released last summer in 9 different colors, and they included protruding eyes, nose, and red lips. And Big red lips. Okay, thank you. I haven't seen them. I don't know.
I did.
You have a pair of these? Okay.
I don't have a pair of them. I just saw a photo of them.
All right. In a statement released Tuesday by the singer and the company, they said the shoes were envisioned as a nod to modern art and surrealism. And the singer says she was saddened when she learned they were being compared to blackface and were immediately removed from the company's website. Perry's is the latest company to withdraw products after they were compared to blackface. Gucci took a sweater off the market last week, and Prada removed a series of accessories that resembled black monkeys with red lips last December. Oh, yeah, these tops with a monkey on the... They're popular, too. I don't know who does them, but I see those.
When is a monkey offensive? I mean, there are all sorts of images of monkeys.
I guess if you're Prada, you're hypersensitive.
But I looked at her shoes. I did not come away with the feeling that they were trying to be black.
No, I have seen a picture of them, too. They don't actually look... They don't look like anything. They just look
like
strange,
fun.
Like an odd face.
I would not wear them. I'm sure you wouldn't either. I don't actually know anybody who would wear them, I don't think. But I certainly don't think they were blackface or intended to mimic blackface.
I have a pair with thin slate, and they're very warm. I like them. They're good.
Well, you know, the nose was like a triangle, and the eyes were big.
Right. It's a caricature. It's
right.
Not
I
even,
mean, it's not.
It isn't blackface.
But we just are so hypersensitive today. And, of course, the reaction
she's
the manufacturer. To immediately take everything off the market. Oh, we can't sell that. Somebody was offended by it.
Well, but see, this way, if she pulls them off the market, the debate and potential negative reaction to her commercial market is one day. If she leaves them on the market, we could argue about this for years. And there could be a boycott and protests and all this sort of thing. Who needs that? Why don't you? She's in the business of making money. So let's get back to making money, even if it's ridiculosity that's driving
it. So what do we? Let's say they made 25,000 pairs of those shoes and they employed 50 people making them. Those 50 people now either have to find other work or she's got to come up with another shoe for them to make.
They didn't invent shoemaking jobs just for her.
No, but I'm saying that there are people who are involved in manufacturing this product. So what's next? Blackjack gum. Do you remember that? I don't know if they still make it, but let's take that off the market. That sounds insulting.
Blackjack, that's because that's a blackjack is a
thing
device
that beat people
that
you, over the hip. I think this was actually... I may be wrong on this. It seems to me that it had something to do with Jack Pershing, that the gum was created.
Oh, okay.
General Pershing from World War I. I may be wrong on that, but that sticks in my head. But seriously, I mean, where do we draw the line? Just because someone says, I think what you did is offensive, does that make it offensive?
I think Katy Perry did the right thing. She's interested in one thing, and you may hear her
selling
talking
shoes.
About surrealism and art and blackface and cultural sensitivity, but her primary interest is...
making money.
Right.
But look at the other year. There was a thing that was patently offensive to Christians. They put a crucifix in a glass of urine and called it art.
Okay.
You know, and then the museum that had it wouldn't take it down. You know, this is we have all these instances where people are offended by stuff and we want to remove it. In other cases, we have people that are offended and we don't remove it. So let's be consistent again. If we're going to do that, if the criteria is you're offended, we stop it. Well, how many people have to be offended before we stop it?
Well, I think part of this that you reject so much, you call it political correctness and reject it, is you're trying to be more respectful of people. Now, whether the art you described is disrespectful, I don't know about that. I don't remember.
Sounds
that.
Disrespectful to me.
Right. I think we could have that
I wouldn't
argument.
Even repeat what they called the art.
Well, that's fine. But in any event, the fact of the matter is with this discussion that we're having about blackface, we're trying to be sensitive to actual harms that we have done to people. This isn't invented. You know, blackface wasn't invented. And individuals of color have seen blackface for years and have been hurt by that.
There's a difference between putting black matter on your face to make yourself appear to be black, and that I can understand that's patently insulting and offensive in today's standards.
Really?
But a pair of black shoes that have eyes on it, a nose and lips, doesn't necessarily mean that they're trying to mimic black people.
Right. And here's the rub. Nobody complained to her. She thought this would be a great opportunity to get some free publicity about her shoes. So she said, hey, wait, I'm pulling my shoes off the market. I want to be covered too. And guess what? I fell right into her trap and gave her the free publicity. Who even knew that Katy Perry had shoes?
I must admit, I didn't know
I didn't know it either.
I looked at the picture of them yesterday. But, you know, I'm just curious as to what the standard's going to be. How many people actually have to be offended before we stop doing something that offends them?
Right.
I'm offended by abortion. Are you going to stop it because I'm offended? No, you're not going to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who are offended by it, but we aren't stopping that.
All right, we got one call coming in. We got one email, one text to read. So we'll do them in that order. When we come back, 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like to light up our telephone number, we are talking blackface. Why isn't anyone offended by blackface? We'll find out when we come back.
People are offended by it.
Well, not everybody.
Cupid's arrow has hit the bullseye. Cupid has hit the sign in front of Sunbury Motors Kia. Drive by and you'll believe in love at first sight, too.
Lease a new Kia for under $200 a month.
You'll fall. fall in love with this deal at Sunbury Motors Kia. Lease a 2019 Kia Forte LXS for just $196.40 a month for 39 months. But that's not all. During the Kia President's Day sales event, a 2019 Kia Sportage LX is priced at just $247.94 a month. And a 2019 Kia Niro LX starts at only $255.13 a month. Both for 39 months. All new Kias come with an industry-leading 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Cupid hit the bullseye of savings at Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 1115 in Hummel's Wharf.
Leases are 39 months, 10,000 miles per year. $2,000 due at signing. No security deposit required. Tax and tags included. Offers expire 2/28/19. Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see retailer or go to kia.com.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. Let's see. Bob, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning.
Morning.
Let's talk about blackface. When I grew up around Seals Grove, there was a, I think it was the American Legion, used to put a show on at the high school every year, and I don't think there was any colored in the school at that time, and it was some pretty prominent people in Seals Grove that played the characters. And it was on a humor basis only, and I don't think it was meant to put anybody down. It was just the fact it was part of a entertainment, I guess.
And they dressed in blackface?
Yeah, they have not
people?
Stepped forward to say that they've done this, I might add.
Yeah. And, you know, there was, but there was never anything negative about it. And also, I don't know if you're aware of this or not, I grew up outside of Seals Grove, and the cemetery above Susquehanna, Union Cemetery, I recall that the Klan burned a cross over there.
Huh. And what cemetery was this?
Excuse me again?
What cemetery was this?
Union. Above Susquehanna.
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah. And also the marijuana. I think that, you know, we need to advance this thing about 20 years and see what's going to happen. But all these politicians, all they're trying to do is get money that they're going to squander off in another direction by taxing the crap out of these people. And I just think it's going to affect more people than what we do now since it's illegal. You know, it's still illegal federally, so I still think it should be illegal. As far as medical marijuana, I think that's probably a good thing if it helps, because it isn't the same thing as the weed type situation. That's my opinion.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks for checking in.
Some information we didn't know about, this Seals Grove prominent citizens in blackface.
Seals Grove's hidden history.
Yes, amen.
Emerging. Read the email that's in the middle if you can.
Sure. It says, I think this being disrespectful of nothing is ridiculous. If we, the people of the U.S., allow these far-left people to make decisions like this and actually get away with it, we are going to have to go do away with a lot. They got rid of a lot of historical statues in the country and are continuing this farce of picking on everything they can. Next thing, it will be disrespectful for most of the churches to be open, and of course, we will bend to this nonsense and close them so as not to disrespect the far left. Come on. I'm offended by such stupidity. It's like the far left is just trying to see how much they can actually get away with and are laughing themselves into oblivion. Who's wearing the pants in this country? Let's put a stop to this, and now.
All right. We'll forward that to WMLP, too. That's their kind of opinion. They like that on the conservative radio station. Good stuff. Thank you so much. We appreciate
the email. Well, I think she makes an interesting